You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball. ECU play-by-play voice Corey Glure and others will join us as we look back at the previous week and take a look at what's ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings right here on the Sports Objective, presented by Next Level Training Center in Greenville. They have all your baseball and softball needs, getting the greatest instruction. Trent and Brent and company with us right now. We have, of course, Kyle from Grange Barber. How are you, sir?
What's going on, guys? Great way to start the college baseball season with a sweep.
No doubt about it. Producing, and he'll be with us in just a minute, Bubba Rosenbaum. We'll get to him. But ladies and gentlemen, the play-by-play voice of the victorious Pirates, and that would be Corey Glure. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing even better. You know, when you win, it feels really good. Pirates start off 3-0. They took care of business. We need to get a chain TCB, like Elvis said. They took care of business. They did what they had to do. And want to get your thoughts out of the gate right here at the start of the show, my friend.
It felt good. Didn't it? Like, it just felt good. And I think Friday was a reintroduction for a lot of people, myself included, that, you know, this was the start of the season. It had been so long that it felt strange. I won't lie. The fact that they were playing a different team, the fact that it was freezing cold, that there were 100 people in the stands, like, it had a different feel to it Friday. It got more normal. And it turned out to be a thrilling game on Friday. And then the Pirate team that we kind of know what they're capable of, what they can do, that came to play Saturday and Sunday, I felt, because that looked like the team that we had seen for a lot of last year and certainly for the bulk of the year before. So it felt great. Like, I mean, everybody's missed it. And so to get back to it is one thing. To get back to it and get three wins on top of it, that's even better.
Corey, Friday night's game being a pitcher's duel, going to extra innings. I would imagine, you know, both coaches, but for what we care about, Coach Godwin was probably pleased to see that kind of performance in game one. You play a close game. You have to win with pitching. You have to win with good fielding. It was a pretty well-played game, really, on both sides from East Carolina and Rhode Island. And you win it in extra innings. It's got to be the way that, you know, I'm sure you just want to win to start the season, but he had to be pleased with the guys finding a way to win it late.
Yeah, I think that's what he took away from it mainly. And what I take away from it is that they did find a way at the end to win that game, because there was some apprehension for everyone to start the game. You could see it in the at-bats. You could see it just as the thing progressed. And then once each team grabbed runs, When the Pirates got theirs in the fifth, Rhode Island answered it in the sixth, I believe, to get their runs. Then it started to feel like a baseball game. But the first four innings or so were really just trying to get a handle on it again. And that went for, you know, Coach Godwin said it felt like he was coaching his first game again. Like, I mean, it was part of that. Like, you were so excited to get back to the field and play someone else, that when it finally gets here, it's built up for so long, and it had been such a long time since that happened, that it could feel a little bit out of place. And that's kind of what the first half of that game was. For them to break out the depth in their bullpen for the back half of that game, and we saw it at its A-plus level by and large, and to even go deep into the bench and switch some people into the lineup and then go to a pinch hitter for the walk-off winner on the 10th inning. We saw a little bit about this team's depth on Friday as well. They were thrown into a tight, intense game to start off the year, and they came through.
Yeah, Corey, as I said before the podcast, coincidentally, terrible with people's names. So help me out here, and I'm sure Dave.
I'm Corey. Yes, I'm Corey.
Well, we know
that. Corey Glure.
But they're in the eighth. The six-year pitcher comes in on a with two outs, bases loaded. 2-1 count, comes in, gets in a 3-1 count, and then gets the double play.
That's you're talking about the ninth inning, right? The top of the ninth. Cam Colmore came out.
Colmore, yes, yeah, correct.
He walks into a 2-0 count with the bases loaded and one out in a tie game, and he gets it to 3-1. You're right. He got the strike to start, and then it worked to 3-1 on Jordan Lasky, the catcher. And then he gets a tailor-made double play ground ball to get out of that frame. It was funny when we went to the inning break in our broadcast after that, Coach Overton looked at me and said, they're winning this game now. Like, I mean, after that, he knew dead straight that they were going to win that game. Cliff said to me on Saturday that he has never put a pitcher in a worse spot than he put Colmore in on Friday. I mean, that's a horrible situation he walks into. And to come back to get you're looking for a strikeout at the minimum there, to get that, to keep that game tied. That was the first real special moment of the season for a guy that his career could easily have been over. He wanted to come back, and the first time he sees the mound in 2021 to start his sixth year, he gets that, and then gets the win. He pitches in the 10th as well. So that's one of those romantic about baseball sort of scenarios where his career could have been done. He wanted to come back. He was able to come back, and the first crack he gets in his sixth year, he comes through with a massive moment.
Yeah, it was a nightmare situation to come in, and for him to get him to hit into that double play was. I'm like Coach O. I said, "There's no way we're going to lose now. It would just be devastating if we did."
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it didn't have. I mean, it had that feel where you can kind of sense how a baseball game is trending, and after that, you just kind of leaned back and said, "They got this now." And then it took them another inning, but they got it.
Yeah, and it had to be demoralizing for Rhode Island too. You get in a situation. Top 25 baseball team will open tonight, and you got the bases loaded in the ninth, and you come away with nothing. I mean, that's got to just be it. It's got to drain you of all your energy and fortitude.
And the fact that their reliever on Friday, Nick Robinson, who pitched 4 shutout frames, he was awesome. He was one of the best pitchers of the weekend in my mind, and he got that team to that point. And so when for an offense that performed really well last year and had almost everybody back from a season ago. That was their first big moment as well. And frankly, Friday was a game in which there were a lot of moments to come through with a big hit, and it only happened once. That was in the bottom of the 10th. That you kind of assume might occur on opening night. But yeah, that is rough for Rhode Island to – especially in hindsight, seeing how the weekend went, that they were that close to jumping out in front and maybe grabbing the win to start the year. And then Saturday and Sunday came along, and they never had a lead.
Guys, we'll move on to Saturday's game. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see the baseball game Saturday. I was visiting friends down in Morehead City. So I'm going to let Corey and Dave take the lead on this one. I cannot talk about what I did not watch.
Well, I'm going to pitch it to Bubba. I know Bubba was getting ready to chime in, so I'm going to pitch it to him. I'll give the floor to Bubba Rosenbaum.
Does nobody want to talk about Saturday's game? Jeez.
No. He wanted to chime in, and Kyle didn't know that, so that's behind. That's inside baseball.
First of all, getting back to what you guys were saying at the very beginning, it was nice to finally have baseball after 11 plus months. And as much as I love Corey Glore's voice over for the NCAA baseball game, those were a lot of fun. It was nice to have the real thing. But in game one, Twitchell from Rhode Island, his performance really stood out to me, and you know, he really kept us off balance, 84-86, something like that. But
yeah,
the Pirate bats did enough there in the middle to late innings to find a way to get it done. And you guys were obviously already touched on the other things from that game, but in game two, the Pirates jumped off 2 runs right off the bat. Then we had a close game in the middle innings, and then that's when Connor Norby delivered the big blow.
Yeah, he had 4 RBIs on Saturday. They all came with 2 outs. And it just seems like every time he hits the ball, it's hard. Like, there's just such clean contact whenever he hits it. Even today, there were a couple moments where they weren't hit soundly off the barrel, but they still had velocity off of it. Like there's something about him and how he hits the ball that's just a little bit different. And he can go line to line, gap to gap, go the opposite way. It doesn't matter if he's in a two-strike hole, which he was in that bases clearing double in the sixth inning. Check that seventh inning on Saturday. He went the opposite way on an 0-2 pitch and cleared the bases. And they're not a ton of guys who can do that around this sport. So, you know, Coach Godwin said today that, you know, Connor kind of needed Friday to get settled in. And once he did, you saw what happens because he's that level of hitter for this team. And six of the seven runs on Saturday were with two outs. Two of the three on Friday were with two outs. I don't have the number about today's game and the 12 they put up today, but they've made it very clear for years how important it is to score with two outs. And they went a step beyond that on Saturday. It wasn't just two outs. It was two outs, two strikes. And they got a lot of runs off of that. And Connor was in the center of it.
Absolutely. Very excited about Connor Norby. After the post-game press conference yesterday, Coach was talking about Connor Norby and how I was impressed with the fact that Connor Norby has come a real long way. And you can tell with Coach how he knew how good he was and that there's a focus. I guess that's the word that I'm looking for, a focus that Connor's even, challenged himself. And now look at the results on the field, how he's really, not that he wasn't dedicated before, but it's like an onion and you peel back another layer and another layer and another layer and another layer. And that speaks high volumes, I think, to the coaching that we have with Cliff Godwin.
They both admitted to when Connors showed up in his freshman year, 2019, that he wasn't up to it to start, and there it was. You know, he walked on. He wasn't getting playing time, and he didn't take that well. And Coach Godwin said, "I've been harder on him than I have on most every other player I've been on. That freshman year, I was really tough on him, and so for him to kind of see the light through that and what he needed to do in order to become the player that the team thought he was. He walked in one day and said, all right, it's time to change my tune a little bit. And this is the result. And this is what we see. I mean, we saw 17 games last year of him as a starting second baseman. We've seen three this year, but what we've seen in that 20 is something really special, and there can be even more of what he can do. So, I mean, we talk about his offensive prowess. Defensively, he was stellar this weekend. And there were a couple, especially Saturday, that were really challenging that he made look pretty smooth. So he is a well-rounded player and still a pretty early stage of his career. And it was him between the ears that kind of cleared out a little bit and realized what he could do for himself and for this team.
And by the way, we're going to have our PGX Player of the Week, and I wonder who that could be, but we'll announce that in just a little bit as we have Corey Glore, now the play-by-play voice of the East Carolina Pirates. One thing that came to mind is certainly the term, I've used the term hungry, but how bad do you think these guys wanted to play this weekend, considering what they went through last year, having 17 games and your season's canceled? I mean, it was really cool to see them back on the field finally.
I think, you know, there are upwards of 40 guys in that room, and there is not a man there that wasn't dying to play this weekend. And, you know, I'm watching a game on my television right now, and they're in the same boat. Everybody around the sport has been waiting for this weekend, and some teams couldn't play this weekend, whether it was COVID, whether it was weather. Some will have to wait even longer, but I mean, ever since, you know, they were having Zoom meetings in April and May and June last summer to try and stay together as a team and not necessarily focus on baseball stuff, but becoming a unit together. Then they get back on campus in the fall and they start practicing together. They have been chomping at the bit for this weekend, and they got here. I mean, it was literally, I think I said when the Friday night when the game started, just exhale, because you just don't know at this current climate You know, a game could be bagged the day of. A game could have to stop in the middle of a game. You just don't know what it's going to be like this year. So the fact that they got this weekend down was just such a great relief for so many of these guys, so many of, you know, the members of both of these teams, and everyone has been able to play this weekend. It's been just great. It's been just great to get back to this.
Corey, I got to ask the million-dollar question, something that's been weighing on my mind really all weekend. Today, I thought about it. Friday night, I thought about it. Do you think Papa John's made a mistake?
They have a lot of pizzas flying out the door. It's funny. I was told about the promotion, and I loved it. And so I was gearing up for it. I was sent the list and all that for this weekend. And then I looked at last year's stats, and I saw in 17 games, they had 26 stolen bases. And I'm like, the Papa John's know what they're getting into right now? And they had, I think, 8 was the final number for the weekend. I would argue 9. With what happened Saturday in the double steal in the sixth inning. But, yeah, I mean, there were 5 today. So I hope Papa John's is ready because they're going to be throwing a lot of pizzas out the door here to people.
Do you know if is this Papa John's of Greenville? Is it the corporation? Do you know if it's just a regional franchise? Do you know exactly who the sponsor is? Because that's interesting to me if it's just Papa John's of Greenville.
I believe it's I actually don't know the specifics of that. I will leave that to the boss people and the sales people.
But it's brilliant there.
Oh yeah, it's great. And this is part of I'm pleased to have something like that on the broadcast. This is something that, you know, since there aren't people allowed in the stadium right now, some things that you'd see in stadium we're finding different ways to do that, and this is one of those things where people can't be at the game, so let's try and do something fun with them through our broadcast.
Yeah, I agree, and it is a good promotion. And, you know, obviously they are giving away a lot of pizza, but, you know, with those free pizzas, people are going to buy other things, and you got people like me that it makes me want to order a pizza from Papa John's instead of, say, Pizza Hut. So, yeah, good promotion.
Not only that, but if you think about it, if you sponsor a promotion where they don't steal bases, then you're not going to be – your name is not going to be out there. So the way I look at it, Corey, is the fact that every time that you have a stolen base, you got to say, we're giving away from Papa John's, Papa John's, Papa John's.
Yeah, good point.
I heard that all weekend. I was thinking about Papa John's because of Corey Glore saying that you stole another pizza from Papa John's.
Smart people that run promotions departments and sales departments come up with ideas like that. And every time I said it this weekend, I wanted pizza. But then again, I'm in a constant state of wanting pizza.
No doubt.
Hey, Dave, we have several comments rolling in on Facebook Live. First, Josh Thomas, loyal Pirate fan, Megaphone crew. Josh Thomas chiming in. First thing he says, when are we going to start letting our starters go deeper into their pitch counts, or is the current strategy of 75 to 80 pitches the norm going forward? Josh, that's something, you know, typically this time of the year, especially when you have weather like you do this weekend, it's not abnormal at all to you know, see guys be right around 70, 75 pitches, just like Jake Kuchmaner in Saturday's ball game. He went 5 innings, 72 pitches, and Coach Godwin addressed that after the game, saying Kuch, of course, being the competitor he is, wanted to stay in there, but he's not going to push it this early in the season, especially when the temperatures are in the 30s or maybe in yesterday's case in the low to mid 40s and it's pretty windy. But
and there's no need to with the pitching depth we have.
Absolutely. I mean, get those guys like Tristan Kimmel and a lot of others today some work. His other comment was yesterday they were outside of the stadium with the megaphone. Could you hear the guys with the megaphones yesterday, Corey?
Don't be insulted when I say I could not, because you have to understand the giant headphones that I'm wearing block out a lot of the outside noise. I have a microphone pointed down to the field, and that's about the extent of what I can get from the environment. So I did not hear the crowds outside that were trying to get together on Saturday. As far as the first question, Kyle's dead on. You're both dead on, frankly. It's been a year since games have been happening. And so you're not going to push Tyler Smith 7 innings. You're not going to push Kuchmaner 7 innings. You're certainly not going to push Wisenhunt 7 innings in his first career start. I mean, there's no need to right now. Not with this being so long of a layoff, not with it being as cold as it was, not with you having a pitching depth that you have. You got to ease into it. I mean, it goes to the discussion of Gavin Williams, who likely could have gone even an inning or two this weekend with his injury, according to the coaching staff. But there's no reason to push that. It's not just about the team and the depth. It's also about them as players. And you want them, when you get to conference play, to be sustainable. You want them to be around deeper in games then. So easing them into the fold here, even a fifth-year guy like Tyler Smith, that's the way to do it. And then you have the 8 and 9, and we saw more arms this weekend with some of the freshmen we saw, especially today, to come out of the bullpen and carry you the rest of the way. The Pirates have that luxury, even deeper in the year. They want to only go 5 innings with the starters and go the Major League Baseball route, which a lot of teams are going out. They can do that as long as this pitching staff stays healthy.
We also have Kim Colmore's mom, Catherine, chiming in. She said the Pirates acronym there. We obviously talked about Cam and the terrific outing that he had, an inning in 2/3 in Friday's game, that clutch situation there in the top of the ninth. And then he also pitched an inning in Saturday's ball game. And then Brennan Shapiro, part of our team, chimes in and says, will Corey be on ESPN Plus, or is that a permanent thing?
Permanent's not the right word. There will be more games in which our broadcast will be on ESPN Plus. Some will have the separate broadcast crew, like what you've had with basketball and other events so far. Some will carry our broadcast as a simulcast. So I don't have the breakdown of what game is going to be us, what game is going to feature other broadcasters, but some of them, as the year progresses, will still have our broadcast on.
We are demanding Corey and Coach O. We do not want the other broadcast team, East Carolina.
I have the number of games that we'll be on. I don't know which games we will be on. And then any game that's on the website that's streaming on there, like Saturday's was, that'll have our broadcast as well. So it will turn out to be the majority of the home games will have Coach O and myself on the video side as well, whether it's ESPN, whether it's the website. But there will be a select number that will have a separate crew. And I don't know what games those are. I believe this game against Duke on Tuesday will have a separate crew, but I can't confirm that. That's what I've heard over the weekend. But wherever they put us, whether it's radio only, whether it's on ESPN, whether it's ecupirates.com, you'll know it from my social media, and I'm more than pleased to bring it to you wherever I am.
And I'm guessing, I could be wrong on this, but I'm guessing the reason for that, kind of like yesterday when the game was on ecupirates.com for free and streaming, the reason we had the one camera view as opposed to what we had in previous years is just everything that's being broadcast right now, just a shortage of manpower.
I don't know if it's manpower per se, but it's resources going to different places. Like Saturday, right, the women's basketball game was on ESPN Plus, and that was happening at the same time as the baseball game. And so that's why baseball was on the website. You're going to have volleyball and lacrosse and soccer and softball and track and more basketball games coming up that will be on these platforms. And that's a lot to juggle for this media relations department and the video department here.
Right.
And so that's why you're seeing the split. And it's not, we're not the only ones in the American. If you caught some of the games over the weekend on ESPN Plus, Tulane's radio broadcast was on ESPN this weekend, and they're putting every game on ESPN. Houston was able to get a separate crew in there, but they didn't have basketball put on there. So it's going to be a balancing act for this first year of the ESPN contract. And it seems like ESPN is being a little bit lenient with some of their initial restrictions this year because of all the sports that have built up here for the spring season.
Well, Corey, I'm going to tell you something, man. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. I watched an Old Dominion East Carolina football game from Old Dominion on ESPN Plus 2 years ago, and it was the worst damn production I ever seen in my life. And so they should have no complaints about you and Coach O giving the radio feed over the ESPN broadcast, because there was no excuse for that production that night at ODU for that football game, and it was god awful.
Well, and what's great here is that, you know, I can't speak to the ODU video setup and the service team there. I know the game you're talking about, but okay. I heard plenty about it, but the video crew here at ECU, regardless of how many people are a part of it, they're really damn good at their job. And so that's why I think, you know, seeing the two games this weekend, you know, I had the up in my boot just on my iPad for replay purposes and all of that. And the production's great. And so this school was ready for this because they already had a pretty good foundation in place with their video department. I mean, when baseball games were on the website as late as last year, that was some of the best college baseball video streaming offered around the country. And it was commended for that. And that's, they were kind of already in a spot where they could do stuff like this. And then they got some more toys to work with. And what you're seeing is a really nice operation here.
Hey, Corey, how about the fact, remember the infamous series with UCLA? I mean, they were what at the time, the number one team in the country, and no video. Yeah. So I think it speaks volumes.
Yeah, and what was strange about that was that, you know, it sounded like they had the option because they have the Pac-12 right. network out there.
Exactly.
And they just chose what games to run. That was right after basketball had ended. They had a ton of sports out there, and so maybe resources were directed elsewhere. But, yeah, I mean, they made the call to not put those games on television. And certainly the school, at least the baseball program at the school, did hear about it from folks back here in the East. And a lot of you wound up watching John Packard's Facebook stream. But no, I mean, it goes to show, you know, it's not just ECU, but how important this program is to this school. But you see, you know, Houston's putting games on ESPN Plus and Tulane's putting every game on ESPN Plus. Schools in the American are pushing the baseball programs out there, and now they have this outlet which can be streamed internationally. So it's great to see, and college baseball continues to grow, and the more exposure that American Conference baseball gets for games on ESPN Plus, the better it is for the league. And Wichita State's been in front of everybody doing this for a few years now, and they're part of this now. So it's all of this is so beneficial to this conference, gaining the notoriety that it's deserved for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt. Guys, we talked about game one and game two. Did we talk about game three, or was I just not paying attention?
Hey, Kyle, right quick.
We have not spoken to game three. Yeah.
Before we discuss game three, Josh Thomas chimed in while we're on ESPN Plus. I want to go ahead and get his question in. He said that he had heard that ESPN Plus picked up next weekend's series against Georgia Southern. Is this true, Corey? Can you speak to that?
I cannot confirm or deny. To be honest, I haven't heard anything about that. I don't know what Georgia Southern's plans are in terms of video. I will be there calling the game on radio, so by all means, feel free to listen to me. I say selfishly, but Georgia Southern has a good setup there in terms of a ballpark, and so they would at least, I think, have some form of stream available. At the minimum, maybe they don't. They're going to be in the same boat with a ton of sports happening at once down there as well. But I'm not sure yet. We'll find out as we get later in the week about what their TV plans might be. But I will be there, so feel free to listen.
And let's move now to game three, which was earlier this afternoon. And you go in, you already know that you have the series win when you have already two out of three. This was a potentially dangerous game because you've already won the series on Sunday. You don't know, with it being the first series, you don't know how the Pirates are going to come out. Thankfully, I think the Pirates overall, when you look at the body of work for game three, they took care of business. And as a game, it's funny, this weekend I was going to ask you this, Corey. You mentioned this on the broadcast, but every game it seemed like it was slow to warm. The first couple innings, but by the middle of the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, that's when everything really, the Pirates really broke things open.
It's kind of been their way for the last few years. They jump out to an early lead. They give their pitcher something to work with and really get a feel for what they're trying to do. And then as it gets to the middle innings and the game kind of settles in, then they, you know, things start to turn a little bit. Their opponent gets a better handle on the pitcher. And we saw that today, where it became a one run game in the third. And then the Pirates team, this offense has a knack for years now of just cranking it up in the middle innings. 2 years ago, it was late innings. It was seventh, eighth, ninth. All of a sudden, they would just blow up. Here in the start of this season, it's the fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning. When it got a little close, there's been sort of, you know, lighting a fire again underneath this lineup. And you see today happen, or you see Saturday happen, which is the same deal. So that's been a trait of this program now for a few years. Strike early and then strike late, and then let your pitching handle it outside of that. And that's what today was.
Absolutely. Dave, you're muted. But getting back to my comment as far as today's game, you referenced how the team has a knack of piling it on in the middle innings and when another team makes a miscue or two. Unfortunately for URI's sake, they made eight of them today. But, taking a look at it, there in that one inning, you had a little bit of everything. The team did a good job of laying down some bunts. And I heard you and Coach O referencing on the broadcast, Corey, as far as this team is going to keep applying pressure. Some opponents may not like it, but it is what it is. And Cliff Godwin and staff are going to do what they need to do to win ball games.
Yeah, that was in the eighth. When the game felt pretty well in control, it was 9-4 by that point. And, you know, Rhode Island grabbed a couple in the seventh that made it a four-run game. So the Pirates got one in the seventh, and so you felt pretty good about it. But this is a lot of message sending from Cliff Godwin to his team. It's not sending anything to Rhode Island, even though, you know, some opponents might take it that way. Because that's been kind of the nature of baseball for generations now, about unwritten rules and all that stuff. You don't steal when you're up five. But for Cliff Godwin, still trying to get a handle on this group as a baseball team, he wants to make sure everyone's engaged from the first pitch to the last. And what that eighth inning was, it culminated in the Skylar Brooks home run. But what it was a lesson for that group, because there were, Norby reaching on an error to start, and then Agnew strikes out looking. Right after that, you have, who drew the walk there? Makarevich drew the walk. And then, actually, it was Riley Johnson. My apologies. Riley Johnson drew the walk. And then Giles struck out looking. And you could hear Cliff Godwin from the third base box barking just kind of to the ether. Like, he wasn't looking at anyone in particular. He said, there's still a game going on. Like, and that's why he puts the double steal in place there. And that's why, you know, Skylar Brooks swings away and hits one 415 feet when the team's up five. There's still a game happening, and you don't have to look that far in college baseball to see monster leads blow apart. Ask Duke today. I mean, it happens a lot in this sport. So it is sending this team a message that you're going to get pulled off the bench at times, and you better be ready to play, even if the game feels like it's over, because it's never over. And I think a lot of coaches understand that as well. Some might take this the wrong way. I get no indication that Rhode Island took this the wrong way today, but that's long been a thing with Cliff Godwin. He's going to not change his strategy until the game is over. And today the game was over in the eighth. And so he stole a couple bases and a 3-run home run happened off of it. He's going to keep doing that until he's not going to stop doing that, nor should he stop doing stuff like that.
And Corey,
you brought up Skylar Brooks' home run. It was a no-doubter, just like Seth Cadell's in Saturday's game. And I know one of our viewers, I believe it was Danny, earlier asked, as far as home runs, the Pirates had those two home runs on the weekend that I just mentioned. And then the stuff – and I apologize, I had to step away for a moment if you had touched on this, Corey, but the stuff of Carson Wisenhunt, like you heard in Cliff Godwin's post-game comments today, 10 strikeouts out of the 12 outs he recorded was just remarkable. And what made it even more impressive, like you mentioned when you were talking to Coach Corey, was the fact that he was doing it with his breaking ball.
especially there toward the end of the day. And the way he pitched out of that jam in the third, and then it was like he didn't miss a beat in the fourth.
That was the first real teaching moment for a guy that this team believes can be something truly special in his career this year and next year. Is the first two innings went by pretty smoothly. A rare error to start the game by Ryder Giles put a base run on right away. And then he strikes out the side, gets the next two to strike out to start the second. And he was setting everything up with a fastball there. Second time through the order, Rhode Island got a better handle of the fastball, and they got two quick runs in the third. Carson started to doubt his fastball a little bit. You could tell he's missing high with the fastball. He wasn't quite able to locate it once the second trip through began. So he went to his changeup and he went to his slider, and that's what got him back into it. And he struck out two to end the third, left runners on the corners, and then punches out the side in the fourth to end his day. The maturity level of him to be able to trust his second and third pitches in his first career start, when his fastball hit 93 at one point, sat at 92 pretty regularly. That's one of the best fastballs this team does have. For him to go to his breaking stuff and his off-speed stuff in his first career start, that to me shows more about what he can do rather than, you know, he got 10 strikeouts, which is unbelievable, but how he got them is the bigger key to me.
And Corey, the very fact that you mentioned him the last couple of times you've been on our show, what you've been hearing, you know, and it's great to have all this stuff preseason. This guy is great and that guy is great. But to see that translate to the baseball diamond today was really, really cool.
He came in with a lot of attention around him, and whether he was aware of it or not, there were a lot of eyes on him today around this program, and he blew doors off the place. I mean, that was something special. And, you know, we had Josh earlier wondering why pitchers aren't going deeper. He had 74 pitches through four. He could have gone another inning, but with what he showed us in four innings, you want to see that in May too. And so the sky's the limit for what he is capable of doing. The book's going to come out on him here over the next few weeks, and someone will hit him, and teams will figure him out, the best way to attack him. With what we saw today, the in-game adjustments that he was able to make with Jason Dietrich, that's what has me so excited for what this kid could potentially do.
No doubt. Corey, to talk about a little fun subject here, not that the baseball games weren't fun in themselves, but you always get lines in from different things. Friday night, I caught one. You quoted an Eagles song, Hotel California. Yeah. Was that something somebody suggested for you? Or did you just do that on your own?
A special guest has suggested lines for me all weekend long, in fact, and planning on continuing doing it even when he has to go to spring training here in April.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
Is that Spencer Brickhouse?
That is Spencer Brickhouse. I woke up to a text this morning with my ZZ Top lyric to work into the game today. So
I tweeted you one late, Corey. I don't know if you got it in or not. Probably not. But I thought it was appropriate for Rhode Island that I did see that.
I didn't work in, but you didn't give me a line per se. You just gave me you to do something from Family Guy.
No, I did. I said for the guys. I said, mention how they need to go to sleep with their teddy bear Rupert.
Is that a line though, or just commenting on a side character in the show?
It's Stewie and his teddy bear Rupert. You know, they could have flew back the tide. They got beat up. Long trip back to Rhode Island. Take a nap with your teddy bear Rupert.
Oh my God! speaking of Rhode Island, I have to ask you. Is there any more facts that you can give us on, since we're doing extra innings, is there extra facts that you can give us about the state of Rhode Island? That was very cool that we had the geography of Rhode Island, and then we also had the baseball game, which we're winning against Rhode Island.
I'll be honest, I exhausted them. Like, I had a half page of facts about the state
awesome.
And about this school.
I got one, guys.
You have a fact about Rhode Island?
Yeah, they are the only place in America I know they have a drink called coffee milk. not a coffee milkshake, not milk in your coffee. It's coffee milk. They take cold milk and put the syrup. It's like chocolate syrup, except it's coffee flavored, and you can get it pretty much any diner up there.
It doesn't sound half bad, I'll be honest.
No, it doesn't really. I've never tried it, but I do know that's a big thing up there, coffee milk.
And how about Bubba gives us the first circus in the United States was in Newport in 1774.
I did see that. I did actually see that, but I was like, I don't know if I want to write this on my sheet. So I passed it. Yeah, I did see that the first circus. It was not on my list, though. Everything on my list was mentioned at some point over the weekend.
You wanted to stay away from the PETA people?
Yeah, I don't want to harm any animals. I don't want PETA knocking on my door. Like, you know, this, you know, congrats on the Newport Circus.
Yeah, off topic, I don't think there's any more touring circus of any size left now. I think, which in a way,
Barnum Bailey shut down a while ago. And yeah, I don't know if there's anything traveling, at least on the level traveling circus. Those have been nipped in the bud pretty quickly here over the last few years.
Yep.
I love the circus, but that's a whole nother show.
Well, you are a clown, Dave.
Yeah, I am. Well, but thanks to Ed, now people are scared of clowns. And a whole another show. Rhode Island is home to the Tennis Hall of Fame. I did not know that. Bubba, thank you, sir, for that. So,
are they really? Hey, Naomi Osaka, she's going to be in the Hall of Fame here.
No doubt.
What she's doing. There's some tennis talk for you.
Yes, another interesting fact about Rhode Island. Rhode Island, neither a road or an island.
Correct. That is very, very true. It is one of the densest states in the country. I do know that. In terms of human population per like square mile, it is extremely dense because there are no square miles. No, I believe they're a very smart state. But they got Brown there. They had Ivy League schools. URI is a very well-known academic school. Yeah. There are a lot of people crammed into the cities there because there are not a lot of spaces for cities to exist. There's also a ton of trees up there, too.
So, nice.
It's dense in both humans and trees.
All right.
So are you taking movie lines from us this week? Can we put you on the spot since we'll talk about Duke, but we got Georgia Southern coming up. Can we do like Georgia on My Mind? Or are you going to do anything with any kind of movie lyrics or song lyrics or movie lyrics?
A warning, if you give me Georgia on My Mind, I will be tempted to sing that. So keep that in mind. And if you want me to go down that road this weekend in Statesboro, I might, because I love that song, so I might sing it. So it's a cautionary tale if you give that one.
I love the Allman Brothers. I hope you'll be talking about some Statesboro blues hopefully the Pirates will be winning, where we'll give them some blues. So hopefully they will not be having happy times in Statesboro.
Statesboro blues. Okay, I don't even know that song, Dave.
Yeah. Yep. It's a great one by the Allman Brothers. Check it out, Kyle. I'm a music nerd. But anyway, let's talk. We talked about, obviously, the three games. What about Tuesday? You're just talking about Duke. They've had some struggles. One of the questions I had for you, and then we discussed pre-show, is the pitching of Duke. How can the pitching of Duke hold off the bats that we know that are capable of the Pirates? That's my ultimate question to you for Tuesday.
Well, the danger of a small sample size creeps in, because if this weekend's any indication, the Duke's pitching might not be able to. They're still playing now, which is crazy, as we are doing this at 10-9 on a Sunday night. They had a doubleheader at Coastal, lost the first one today in gut-wrenching fashion. They're leading 10-8 in the top of the ninth right now against a good Coastal team. They were concerned, or at least they thought pitching would be the void they'd have to figure out this year to start, because when you lose Bryce Jarvis to the draft, the dominoes fall behind that. And so there are a couple bullpen pieces that are gone as well for Duke. And so that's what the first couple weeks are going to be for them, is to figure out how their pitching shakes out. They gave up, they won 12-6 yesterday. We're up 7-3 in game one today in the ninth inning, gave up 5 runs, including a walk-off grand slam. And now they've given up 8 runs here today in game two. They're driving back to Durham tonight. They'll have one day, and then they drive to Greenville for Tuesday. So the possibility of having arms that are tired could be there. They will have a day off, but you're talking about three games in 2 days for them this weekend. There could be a chance here for this Pirate lineup, who's starting to feel good now after the last two games, to attack a Duke pitching staff that might not be where, certainly isn't where Chris Pollard would want it to be at the moment. So I think seeing Duke here now is a very good thing, because that lineup's great. And so you could see a midweek game coming up on Tuesday, one of those midweek games, with what these lineups can do. Can Duke find the arms to hold down ECU? That's the first question. What Carter Spivey can do in this start, with everything that has been mentioned about him heading into this season, that's the second question. Because he was in the same boat as Carson Wisenhunt about how he's looked before the year. And the times we've seen him on the mound the first 2 years have left a lot to be desired. So what has changed with him? What between the ears is different about him? That seems to be the biggest key from what I've heard from this coaching staff, is that he just is different. He's a different presence right now. His stuff is there. It just hasn't been commanded in what we've seen the first 2 years. He's got an opportunity against a potential, you know, you're talking about a ranked team in some polls, top 20, even higher than that, to come out and, like Carson Wisenhunt did today, make noise very early.
Corey, you basically touched on it, but I always have the mindset that pitching depth typically means you're going to be a pretty good midweek team, and not having pitching depth means you may struggle midweek if you face a team with good pitching. So, if you kind of alluded to.
Yeah, I think about, you know, for years, this team never really had a midweek starter. And, you know, there was a time where Jake Agnos was a midweek starter. Last year, Tristan Kimmel was that, but he went two innings. Maybe Spivey become that, but you're also looking at six midweek games this year. There aren't a ton of these options.
Right.
So, but you've looked in the past where I think one of the biggest reasons why Campbell has elevated as a program is because Justin Hare has recruited some really great pitching from the JUCO ranks, and now their pitching's deep enough to compete in midweek games. And that's elevated that program to where they're blowing people out in the Big South, but now they're beating ECU, they're beating State, they're beating Carolina, they're beating Duke, and it's not a shock. Campbell has figured out the key to that. A team like Elon hasn't been able to do that, where they're really good in CAA play, but midweeks have long been a struggle for them. They can't find the pitching depth. That's the difference, is do you have the arms available to win those games that are, for lack of a better term, centerpieces on college baseball calendars? It's, you know, conference play is so crucial around the world of college baseball. They will look at ECU Duke on Tuesday more than they will look at an ECU UCF, even if that might be misplaced. So can this team's pitching depth really showcase its stuff against a top 20 super regional caliber team like Duke on Tuesday?
One question that comes to mind, Corey, is speaking of pitching and being healthy, and we were talking earlier about that very fact. That's why the guys are have pretty count of, say, 70, 75 pitches, it seemed like. What about Gavin Williams? Have you heard? I know that they were talking about saving him because we have depth. Do you think he'll be seen maybe this coming weekend with Georgia Southern? Is there a timetable? Have you heard anything on when they would like for him to even come out of the pen, maybe for an inning or two?
Yeah, I think they're feeling pretty good about Georgia Southern Gavin being available. It won't be for much. I don't imagine it'd be for a start, but seeing him out of the bullpen for an inning and two, I think that's the plan that's still in place right now. I haven't heard anything about a setback with Gavin yet, but again, that they felt like, if they needed to, he could have thrown this weekend. But in order to, one, I mean, they have the arms to go without him. And two, for a guy that has dealt with injuries and is way too talented to risk any further harm to him personally, even take the team out of it. He's so good. And what his skill set is, the guy's been sucker punched a ton, even before he got to ECU. He had an injury that cost him half his senior year, might have cost him a higher draft slot out of high school. Freshman year, arm tightness, last year, the freak broken finger to start the year. And now this year, you know, and then the draft shaved down to five rounds last year cost him a draft spot. So it's he's been hit by a ton of adversity, and there's no reason to push him into anything just for the sake of pushing him out there. He wants to get out there, certainly. And I bet part of it is also I haven't had the opportunity to show baseball my stuff yet. But it's also preserving him for his sake. And so unless something changes, I get the feeling we'll see him at some point this weekend in Statesboro. If we don't, it's not the end of the world. I mean, and they're going to be careful with him, not just because this team can manage without him, but for his sake, because he is too important to this team and he is too important for his future to risk anything.
Talking about Georgia Southern down in Statesboro next weekend, Georgia Southern's got a great baseball program. The Sun Belt as a whole is probably the most underrated conference in college baseball. So how do the Eagles look this year, Corey?
I'll be honest, can't say I have dived into them yet, to be frank. I know they were battling, I believe it was Tennessee this weekend.
Correct.
But I remember last year the Pirates took all three here in Greenville, and that's about the extent of what I can remember from Georgia Southern, to be frank. So ask me in about 3 days' time, and I'll have a better answer for you on Georgia Southern. But you're right, the Sun Belt, what once Coastal joined the Sun Belt, then that league really became worth the watch. Louisiana in the Sun Belt as well, and Georgia Southern been kind of and Southern's been kind of pushed down a little bit because of that. But the last year they were the league coaches thought they would be at the top of the mix in that league, and so they get shut down off of that. And like everyone, they're likely going to have an old team back. So first road trip for this group, again, in a place where you're not going to have a ton of people in front of you. You're going to have to make a lot of your own energy in a park like that. That's going to be a very good test for this team, regardless of what Southern even brings to the table. Just the nature of traveling in COVID times and all of that, this will be a first nice early test for this group.
Georgia a little more lenient on stuff like that in North Carolina. There actually may be a much bigger crowd there than what we had in Greenville.
Yeah, I mean, I think they will have fans in there. There were 100 in the games this weekend in each game at Clark LeClaire. You're going to see more than that likely in Southern, and maybe that means some Pirate fans in the area are able to get in there. I'm not sure how the tickets are being distributed at Southern, but there will be some people in there. But this also hasn't been phased on the road in the past, but this is different. I mean, this is a year off, and you're still getting this group together now as a baseball team, not just as a team. So that will provide a very nice challenge for this group.
And the results from that game, Tennessee did win all three, sweeping Georgia Southern. Looked like three pretty competitive games, 5-3, 5-3, and 7-3. Today's game was in 12 innings, even though you had that 7-3 final. Tennessee pushed across four in the top of the 12th. So three very competitive games, and Tennessee is ranked 19th. As far as the attendance, today's game had just over 700 guys. And let's see, looking at the first two.
That was in Statesboro. They hosted Tennessee.
Yes, it was. It was at Clement Stadium down in Statesboro. Game two had 767, and then game one, I would imagine, is probably around the same. They had 704, so pretty nice numbers there, given the circumstances.
Yeah, they probably had a capacity percentage that was allowable, and I'm going to wager weather was similar down there as it was to here, and so that probably knocked it down a little bit. But the early forecast looks pretty decent for Statesboro. Let's hope it holds out for this weekend. Tuesday looks good as well. So that, and make sure all the swabs up the noses are coming back negative, because that begins now this week. And you saw another group of people this time around. So always keeping that on the front of mind about what could happen this season, making sure all of that is as negative as possible in the best way.
And I remember back several weeks ago, Dave, and then I'll let you continue on, but several weeks ago, whatever the number is, whether it's 25%, 33%, Georgia Southern sold out their season ticket allotment.
Well, that's by the numbers you gave, Dave, or Bubba, I wonder if it's around 800.
Yeah, that's why I really think that it's probably 25%. It may be 33 because that ballpark, right offhand, I want to say it's a nice ballpark, like Corey mentioned, but I'll look up the capacity for Clements Stadium.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, regardless, the very fact is we got a big series with a big midweek game with Duke. We have the big series with Georgia Southern, first road test. We'll see how it do. And the most important thing is we get a chance to hear you, and I know that you're going to be killing it on the broadcast on Tuesday and this weekend. It's going to be very exciting, and I'm just happy to have ball games, whether we have fans or not. I definitely want to be there, but at the same time, the fact we have games to me is a big – we could easily be having you on saying, Corey, when are we going to be able to have baseball for that? So 3,000 is the capacity there at Georgia Southern.
And 700, 800 in that area, you're talking about 30-ish percent. So, yeah, that's about right. I mean, it actually hit me today. A buddy of mine who used to – when I called games in the Midwest League, I called for Beloit. He called games for Burlington, who are now no longer part of the Midwest League. But he sent me a message today. He's like – right now he's not broadcasting. And he said, boy, one of the things I miss about calling baseball – is walking up to the stadium, not necessarily the game, but just the walk into the building. And it hit me today. It was like the office that I'm in when I work is so unique, and just the, you know, just walking into the ballpark, and that's work for me. It was great to have this weekend after so long away. And so to be able to bring the games to all of you when you can't be in there, that was not lost on me either. And I will continue to do so until hopefully we can get people in there. But it feels great to be back, and feels great to see this team be back and also succeed in the process.
Corey, do you know if they get the numbers, the university gets the numbers from ESPN Plus? I'm curious to know how many people are watching our baseball games with nobody being able to be in the stadium, and how our baseball viewership compares to other people's baseball viewership.
I would imagine they have access to the numbers, whether they get them immediately, whether the conference has them. Any games that are on the Athletics website, they have the numbers pretty immediately about what those look like. But I would imagine they have access to them. I don't know for sure, nor have I asked this weekend. But I'm sure they are aware. The schools also, I mean, make no mistake, they know that people want to watch this baseball team. And so that's why they're going to put games on ESPN Plus if you can't get into the building. And even if you can, they're going to put them on ESPN Plus to try and make it as accessible to as many people as possible on a platform that has been very, very successful here of late.
Indeed.
No doubt. And hopefully, but maybe by the regionals, that's my hope and prayer that we can have fans. I think that would be the earliest that we could even hope for, into the regular season maybe, but I don't think it's going to be, unfortunately, anytime. Not that I want that, but that's just my uneducated guess on when.
Dave, I saw an article out of, I think it was Baltimore Sun, a research doctor out of John Hopkins. This is just one doctor's opinion, but he is from John Hopkins. Thinks we're going to reach herd immunity by May.
Wow, that's even faster than whatever I heard July, but I'll take the May. That's even better if that's the case. Corey, my friend, I appreciate you very much. I know that we're about at an hour that you've been on with us, and I know you've been talking a lot the last few days, so we'll let you rest your voice, and hopefully we can get a win. Hopefully we get a win against Duke on Tuesday, and then Georgia Southern, and then we'll have you back on hopefully on Sunday as well for extra innings.
Yeah, I'll have a lengthy drive back from Statesboro Sunday, so I won't be able to do this with you. But if you can patch me in via the good old fashioned telephone, I will be happy to join you, and you all can entertain me on my drive back in the deep night through probably South Carolina at some point by then. But by the way, Coastal has put the first two on down two in the bottom of the ninth, remembering that they walked off with a grand slam over Duke, scoring five game one today. So stay tuned for that. Tim,
by the way, we have pleasure, Tim. And we have one more
the
from Josh.
The Colmores are tuning in. The Colmore family all tuning in to this Sports Objective tonight to Extra Innings.
Yep. That's really cool. Josh O'Neill says we'll continue to show up either way. Go Pirates. So appreciate him being out there in the jungle. Appreciate you, buddy. Hope you have a great night, and we'll talk to you again soon. Be safe.
Have a great night. Stay safe, everybody, and I will talk to you Tuesday.
Thanks, Corey.
All right. Sounds good. We'll be listening. All right, man. All right, appreciate Corey Gloria lots for Extra Innings. Brought to you by Next Level Training Center. I want to thank Trent Brent, his wife, as well for their support of the program. And, guys, you've got to check them out. If you haven't, you got to go there. It's a lot of fun. Kyle, you have baseballs. How about that?
Repeat that. If I heard the miss the last part, you broke up on me.
Sorry about that. I said that you Next Level Training Center. You can go by there on Wimbledon Drive in Greenville. You can practice your swing there. Get in the cage.
Yeah, that'll be great. Watch me miss a bunch of baseballs. Come on out, everybody.
So you'll be signing autographs afterwards and taking pictures, hugging and kissing babies for sure. All right, we're gonna definitely have a lot of fun. By the way, again, Next Level Training Center. Want to thank them. 252-756-NEXT. 252-756-NEXT is their number. You can find out about individual instruction. They've got a lot of cool things there. Don't take my word for it. Go by there. And my son Alexander is looking forward to training there again very soon. By the way, guys, ordered some more stuff. Alexander, I found out, will be playing baseball in the spring. There's signups for locally in Williamston in March. So we got him some batting gloves and got that from pgxgloves.com. Very excited about that. So, by the way, when you go to pgxgloves.com, when you order, make sure the promo code you put capital letters ECU, and guys, you get 25% off the order.
25% off with promo code ECU. Go order yourself some gloves, guys. I know we got some golfers out there. You can get customized golf gloves. They got some cool swag. Go check out the swag. Go check out the apparel. There's a lot of pirate themed merchandise over at pgxgloves.com. Go check them out. When you place your order, put in that promo code ECU. Save yourself 25%. And like always, it's Pirates supporting Pirates.
No doubt. And by the way, Bubba, we've got the PGX Player of the Week. Let's talk about that. A nice segue. I'll pitch it to you.
Yeah, we talked about what a tremendous week Connor Norby had, especially on Saturday, going 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs, 3 of which came on that bases clearing double that really helped the Pirates put it away in the 7-1 victory over Rhode Island. But, taking a look there on the screen, in the 3 games against the Rams, just tremendous numbers for Connor. He's batting .500, 6-for-12, had that one extra base hit that I referenced, 4 RBIs, and played a tremendous second base, 14 chances over the weekend without committing a single error.
And thanks to pgxgloves.com, PGX Player of the Week. Congratulations, the very first one we had on the show is Connor Norby. So keep it up, Connor. Hoover, what player will play well? I'm sure there'll be a lot of great players that we have, and appreciate Kaz very much for sponsoring that, and of course sponsoring our 23 Jungle Tales, which we'll still have some to go. By the way, as far as Next Level Training Center, Josh O'Neill says Lance Martin is the man to see at Next Level. So thank you, Josh, for that. Lance Martin is the man to see at Next Level, and we appreciate Next Level stepping up. And they're taking
our slogan, guys. Is it like take your game to the next level or level up with Next Level? If they can't, if they got a slogan like that, if not, they can use one of mine.
Next up, isn't it? Next up. But next, hey, the very fact that they're taking our show to the next level. Appreciate that. There you go. So appreciate them. They're at Next Level Training Center. Go by and see Trent and everybody. They're so awesome there. Had a great experience. I took my son for his 7th birthday, and we had a great time right before that COVID hit. So we lost track of as far as going and getting in our routine, but we're going to start back here very, very soon. And by the way, guys, we've got some great programming coming up, don't we, Bubba, coming up this week? Well, Tuesday, I know that we have Coach Mike Steele will be on. And, of course, we'll have the conclusion. We'll have extra innings. Well, not extra innings, but we'll be talking right after ECU Duke, right, Bubba?
Yeah, we'll catch up with Chris Edwards, the play-by-play voice of the Duke Blue Devils. Right. And like you mentioned, we'll have Coach Steele on to talk everything going on with NCAA basketball as March Madness is quickly approaching. And then on Thursday, we'll have a preview of the Georgia Southern series, as well as talking to Bob Rathbun, obviously longtime voice of the Atlanta Hawks, and as well as ACC games on Raycom and so forth. In addition to Bob, we'll have that preview of the Pirates and the Eagles.
And we'll also have the latest from Stacey Rice and Stacey Reese and Riley.
Yeah, exactly.
After the Duke game.
Hey, nothing's going on here, right?
Yeah, we'll combine Reese and Riley's name together and call them Rice, Bubba.
Sounds good. I mean, do you guys have anything?
You got to call it faster.
No doubt. Do you guys have anything before we go?
No, it's just great to see the Pirates start off the year with a sweep and got the Blue Devils jump right into regional ACC play Tuesday night. This, you know, as much as we love winning conference games and the conference is what's most important, you know, the Pirates should get fired up. Pirate Nation gets fired up anytime we can beat an ACC school in any sport. So let's go take care of business against the Blue Devils Tuesday.
No doubt, Bubba. Do you have anything before we go?
No, I'm just looking forward to another excellent week. Hopefully, Pirate basketball will be able to resume action soon. Fingers crossed for that as we're down to tournament time almost. But hopefully we'll be able to get two or three more games in here in the regular season and be able to play in the conference tournament. And who knows, maybe put something together and make a little run. But looking forward to four tremendous ball games this week. Two excellent clubs with Duke and Georgia Southern.
No doubt. Congratulations. The Lady Pirates got a big win yesterday, guys. So I saw some of that.
And speaking of Lady Pirates, they had that 15-point win that you referenced, Dave, against Wichita State on the hardwood. But then you also had the Lady Pirates taking care of business on the diamond with softball. I'm not sure what they did today. I'm not sure what they did today against Coastal Carolina, but I know they were 4-0 coming into today. They had won those two games at Furman last weekend, and then they had defeated St. Francis and Buffalo yesterday.
Very excited for Courtney Oliver and company. We'll be trying to get her and a lot of the coaches on. Busy this time of year, odd circumstances with COVID, with having some fall sports and the spring sports at the same time, but we'll do our very best. All right, for our great guest, a play-by-play voice of the East Carolina Pirates, Corey Glore. I want to give it up to Bubba Rosenbaum, producing, doing everything behind the scenes, being a dad, a husband. He's obviously help hosting. He also does behind the scenes, does everything. Kyle Barber, thank you, dude, very much. And appreciate Next Level for stepping up and being a part of the program as well, helping you bring this show to us, or bringing the show to you, rather. We'll do it again next Sunday. For Extra Innings, right here on the Sports Objective, I'm Dave Richmond. See you guys next week. Go Pirates!
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night as we will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media, at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!